And it's time to talk sport now with Warwick Hadfield. Warwick, hello there.
Hello there, Fran.
Well, in cricket, eh? The administration of the game is in disarray, but no heads will roll. Now, one head, James Sutherland's already left. Is that
going to be... Oh, yes, but Fran, that had nothing to do with ball tampering.
And
nothing
that.
To do with... Fran, you must understand how cricket works.
I understand that, but is that enough, do you think, for the reason that no heads
not.
Will roll?
No, Fran, look, as predictably and astonishingly bad as the two reviews' findings were, the people at the top responsible for the disaster, and there's no other word for it, particularly from a public relations point of view, they just don't see a need to resign, even though the rest of Australia is in a furious agreement this morning that the position of the Cricket Australia chair, David Peaver, is utterly untenable. But of course, he was re-elected to his position just last week. And I hate to say this, Fran, but all of which proves that despite these two reviews replete with their heavily redacted pages, you can only believe that little has changed. Throughout the history of cricket, the Blazer Brigade have never felt an overpowering need to be accountable to anyone other than themselves. But this time, all that's been made worse because the attitude of arrogance was allowed to flow through to the players. And of course, you could see their arrogance out on the field, but the arrogance that administrated, it's always a little harder to see. But of course, you would have seen it if your name was on the top of the dirt sheets distributed to the media last year during the pay dispute, or you're one of the former players who are so frightened to speak out, even when they can see the things that are going wrong, on the basis that you'll never work in this town again. Such that when Gideon Haigh launched his book, Crossing the Line, which is all about the whole the culture of the administration of Australian cricket, when he was launching his book, no former cricketer was available to lend his name for it. Just a little bit frightened that if he stuck his head or her head above the trenches, they'd never work in the town again. Look, the review by Simon Longstaff and Rick McCosker was damning, but I could say it surprised no one really, and not surprising, as I've already said, no one in administration will be punished. Now, Fred, I know that you're going to be speaking to John Buchanan, the former Australian coach, just after the news that's coming up. I'll be absolutely fascinated to hear what he has to say. He was, of course, in charge of Australia when it had that astonishing 15 test wins in a row. Back then, there was an element of the ugly Australian in the way that the players went about it. He also went to New Zealand, and of course, over in New Zealand, they play the game hard, but people like Brendan McCullum refused to indulge in sledging. So it'd be interesting, as I said, to hear what John Buchanan has to say about this whole sorry mess, Fran.
Well, in cricket, we're speaking with the former Australian men's test coach, John Buchanan, shortly, but amid all the brouhaha around the Cricket Australia review, the continued success of the Australian women's team yesterday was easily overlooked. They beat Pakistan in the final T20 game in Malaysia.
Yeah, Fran, Pakistan all too literally run out four of those in 8 for 97 before Elisa Healy belted the ball to all parts of KL in what was a hefty 9-wicket win that sets the Australian
win.
Yeah, they won it on the bit, as they say, in horse racing. That sets Australia up nicely for the T20 World Cup in the Caribbean next month. But as you said, the match in KL, which gave Australia the Series 3 zip, largely overlooked amid the wreckage of the men's game here in Australia. Those two reviews released yesterday, damning of the administration of the game, but that was as predictable as a Merv Hughes bouncer for anyone taking more than a passing interest in what's been going on in Jollymont Street the last few years. I'm acutely interested in John Buchanan's take on all this. Australia won everything when he was coach, and of course that's the unfulfilled ambition of the current players and administrators that has apparently caused all the problems, Fran.
Indeed. Okay, and in motor racing, after such a promising start, pole position, it all ended badly for Daniel Ricciardo in the Mexican Formula One Grand Prix.
All the promise, all the tripping major nutsack, as he called it, in qualifying, and followed by some pretty good driving in the race itself after he dropped back to fifth, then worked his way back to second. It ended when the car, well, broke wind and died. Hydraulics failure this time. It's the eighth DNF, did not finish this season. And it leaves Daniel Ricciardo declaring the car is cursed and wondering if he should bother turning up for the next race. The main story out of Mexico, though, was that Lewis Hamilton won the Drivers' Championship for the fifth time in a row. That's after he finished fourth behind Ricciardo's teammate, Max Verstappen, who never seems to have any problem with his car. Conspiracy theory, anyone?
Maybe, ask Daniel. In tennis, Alex de Minaur beaten overnight, so all eyes again on Ashley Barty.
Yeah, well, Fran, Minnaar and Barty now, the Australians, the two top-ranked Australians, supplanting Kyrgios and Stoser. Last night, Minnaar lost to Feliciano Lopez, pushing his opponent to three sets, but I guess Feliciano lit his fire more than Alex de Minnaar. Later today, in Hung Chin, Ashley Barty is playing in the WTA Elite Trophy event. She's against Aryna Sabalenka, who is ranked at 12 in the world. That's seven more than Barty, who just squeezes into this tournament for the top 20 players in the world, and she finds herself up against another good one too, Caroline Garcia, ranked at 16. So if Barty gets through this group, it's a great way for her to finish what's been yet another breakthrough year for her, Fran.
Warwick, thank you very much.
Good on you, Fran.
Warwick Hadfield, it's 24 minutes to 8 on Breakfast.